Okay.
So, everybody knows Serena Mascara, right? Yes. Again, you synchronize your breathing, and there's also mantras. Again, if you watch the beginning course, you can know all the breathing and the mantras to do. But so anyways, we'll do one round, and then 30 seconds of Shavasana afterwards. Okay? And then you finish about 30 seconds of Shavasana. Okay, continue with some more stretches. You want to change the zoom? Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay, so just the leg loosening exercises, right? Yeah. Lessons. So just take one foot, try to pull it up as much as you can, right? And then you try to push your knee to the ground. Mm-hmm. And then spin it in circles. Clockwise. And then counterclockwise. And again, there's more advanced variations. You can put your hand behind your back, grab your foot. You can see if you can reach your heel. And finally, you can try to touch your head to your knee. I'll do the other leg. Okay. Circles. And other direction. Again. Stretch it out even more if you can. Next one is butterfly, right? So put your soles together. The first one is you try to cut your forehead to your heels, right? And then you can bring your heels all the way in as much as you can. And try to push your knees to the ground, right? Okay, you can also hold your ankles to get more leverage, get your elbows up farther, and you can push. Just squeeze your legs to relax the muscles. So those are kind of the forward bending set of asanas. We'll do some of the backward bending ones now. And also the leg loosening. Again, that's also important for if you're eventually going to sit in meditation, you need to have very loose and flexible legs. So we'll start off with cobra, which is just simply like we do in Surya Namaskar. Just push yourself up. Try to keep your back relaxed. And just push up as much as you can and keep your hips on the ground. Look up and back. And breathe deeply. And then back down again. The other one is the locust, where you make your hands into fists and you put them under your hips. And then you raise both your legs up as high as you can with the knees straight. This one is great for the lower back. Again, also very important if you plan to sit for 1 or 2 hours in meditation. You need a very strong lower back. Okay, you can bring it back down. The other one that I showed the class last month was the bow pose. So you bring your feet up and you hold your ankles, right? Okay. And you pull with your feet and lift yourself up, inhale, and go up as high as you can. Relax. So next is we can do the let's do the camel. It's another good backward bending one. Actually, am I in the picture still?
No.
Okay. So this one, you just you reach back with your hands, you put it on your heel, right? And then reach back to the other hand on the other heel.
Inhale, push your chest out. Put your shoulders back. Breathe deeply. And then come out the same way. Take one hand off, and take the other hand off. And then you can sit back down on your heels, and we'll do the moon pose. Or just bend forward and stretch out your back in the other direction. Okay. So those are kind of some of my favorite backward bending ones. Last month also I showed the shoulder stand. So actually I'll just put my mat on the side because I think it gives a better shot to the camera. So I'll actually zoom it up fully because my feet will be up in the air. It's okay? Is zoomed out fully?
Yeah? No, it's enough that you're feet will be there.
I think so, okay.
Yeah.
Everybody? Okay, why don't you just watch and just see how it goes. Okay, so shoulder stand. You lie on your back. And kind of just bring your feet up. Kind of over your head a bit. And you just kind of roll up onto your shoulders. And then you straighten your legs out. Good, got my feet. So there's various things you can do with your hands. Keep them flat. You can put them to support your back if you need to. Okay. There's other variations if you can keep your legs straight. Or if you tilt your legs over your head slightly, you can actually move your hands in other positions. So another variation is in front of your head like that. Another variation is up on the side. So you balance entirely on your shoulders. Kind of right like that. Bring that down. Okay, and you can straighten out again. You can go from this posture into the next one, which is called the bridge. Again, again, it's a bit advanced, so just watch first before you try it. You just hold your back, and you arch your back and bring your feet down first, and keep your back up, and just very gently, right? And you arch your back. And the other variation for the bridge, so if you came all the way down, you could also just hold on to your feet, bring your feet up, and then push up with your chest and your stomach. Okay, and then relax back down to the ground. And the final pose here is, because you've bent your neck forward, you can bend your neck back. So you do the kind of very simple version of the fish I can show you. You just tilt your head back and rest it on the floor. So stick your chest out as much as you can. Tuck your head back as far as you can. And just stretch your neck. And then you can relax. The other thing you can do, okay, get up. Usually also after doing an inverted asana, you do a standing asana. So I can show you the, my mat back. Okay.
You're not lifting your hands.
No, I won't lift my hands, just to the top of my head if she's sitting there. Okay, so after this comes a balanced posture, so I'll show you that. That's new this month. The eagle pose. I think I might have showed you it actually. Alright, stand on one foot. Yeah, I think I did. So we'll do the right leg first. So you put your left arm in front of your right arm and wrap it around. Right, and then try to make like the beak of an eagle. Then you stand on your right foot. Okay, you wrap your left foot around it. Okay. And you balance on one foot. And then come back out. Okay. Same thing on this side. This time put the right arm in front. Wrap it around this way. And bring the right leg, wrap the right leg around. So we've covered pretty much everything now. Forward bending, backward bending, inverted, right, legs up, balance, eagle, one foot. And the final one is twisting. You twist the spine now. Right. See, that's where you can zoom back in again. All right. So again, I've shown this one in the beginner class as well. All right. So again, twist towards your knee, you grab onto it, and just pull and twist as much as you can. And look back. And the more advanced variant is if you can put your arm through your leg and grab from behind your back. And do the other side. Okay. Over the knee and twist. If you can, more advanced variant. So I think that's pretty much it. Actually, the final one is Agni Sar Kriya. Let's see. I think I might also show that one too. So I'll do it from a standing posture. All right. Just want to see the camera. So I'll be like this. Just make sure my head and my knees are visible. Mm-hmm. Right. So again, this one you exhale completely. That should do.
Yeah.
That should do this one too, right?
Yeah. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah. All right. This is from the beginner class, right? Again, so next month we're going to be doing a lot of stomach ones, actually. So you need to practice for next class. So exhale completely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just meditation after that. Well, breathing and meditation, so. Should be zoomed in for the rest of the class.
Should I finish the book?
No, that's okay. I'll talk about what's in here a bit, alright? So here we're up to, lesson 17 and 18, I'll kind of just go over briefly. There's a ongoing discussion of Bhakti Yoga carrying on from last month. It's part 3 and part 4. Again, if Bhakti is appealing to you, definitely you can read about it and practice that. But we won't cover it much in this course. And there's the bridge pose, which I just showed you. Okay. So we'll do the pranayama. I'll talk about that next. Nada yoga. So these two lessons here actually cover nada yoga in detail. Nada yoga is used for actually awakening bindu, which is at the top of the back of the head. And we'll do that in this course according to the other book. Right? We're actually kind of following this book for the meditation practices. And this book has it done later on. Like, you do the practices in order of the chakras. So last month I did the Muladhara chakra practices. This month we'll do the Svadhisthana chakra. And then Manipura, Anahata, Vishuddhi, Ajna. And eventually we'll do Bindu at the very end. Right? So this book kind of has it in a different order. Right? But I prefer the order given in this book. That's why I kind of use this one. Because the order, just basically the order. Right? They have all the practices in here. But I think the order given in this book is better, right? So Nada Yoga, again, the explanation is great here, but it's in the wrong place. I think it needs to go later on. So we'll definitely get to this practice, but in a later lesson, later class. So that's it for 17, 18. This is the last discussion of Bhakti Yoga. Okay. Asanas was the eagle pose, which I showed you already. Uddiyana Bandh is coming next month, so that's again a stomach practice. Next month we do all the stomach practices for awakening Manipura, which is at the navel, right? So that'll come next month. And pranayama I'll be doing in a minute, and Nada Yoga part 2, right? So again, like I said, that is for Bindu, and we'll do that a few months from now. And that's it for 17 and 18. So, pranayama. So we're doing Nadi Shodhana. All the advanced courses, all the beginner course, all the advanced courses, just Nadi Shodhana. I'm still thinking about if I'm going to introduce some of the other breathing practices, maybe in the expert course afterwards. But for now, we're just going to focus on Nadi Shodhana. So are you practicing Nadi Shodhana? Or, the alternate nostril breathing, right? Where you inhale left, exhale right. Right? You practice that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you do with breath retention as well? I can't remember what I showed you.
Yeah, retention like up to some counting, up to 30, 35.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. So that's the... did I show you the locks? I don't think I showed you the locks. So what we introduce in the advanced class is doing locks at the various places, right? So last month's class I introduced, actually the one before even, is the neck lock, right? So what you do is you inhale left nostril. When you're holding your breath, you then just tuck your neck in tight. So you lock your neck basically, right? So you just pull it, you keep your back straight, lock your neck, and hold your breath for the duration of the 30 seconds or so, 32 seconds, right? So if you inhale 4, hold for 32, right? If you can, right? Then you release the lock, exhale for 24, if you can. And then same thing, you hold the breath out. So then you hold the breath out for 8. So after you finish exhaling completely, you then do the lock again. So just tilt your head forward and hold the breath out for 8 seconds. Then release the lock. Inhale the other nostril. 4 seconds. Once again, when you hold the breath, you again apply the lock. Right? And then you exhale again, 24. Right? Hold the breath out. A lock again.
right? So this month what we add actually is a Mula Bandh, right? So in the video from last month, I talked to a Mula Bandh, which is the perineum lock in men and the cervix lock in women, right? So again, you guys actually watch the video to get caught up on that. So we'll add that now to we'll add that to Nabhishodhana, right? So now, again, we'll add it only on the inhalation, right? Next month we'll add it to the exhalation, but for now, just practice it on the inhalation. So you inhale, 4 seconds, you hold for 32, now you do two locks. You do the Mula Bandh, and you do the Jaladhara Bandh, which is the neck lock, and Mula Bandh at the same time. So you do them both together for the 32 seconds, then you release, then you exhale, and then when you do the hold the breath out, do just the neck lock at that point, right? And then release, okay? So we'll give that a try for 5 minutes or so. Again, just do whatever you're comfortable doing, right? I mean, I'm just explaining where we kind of are in the course, right? So whatever you feel comfortable doing, just go ahead and do that. Sit in whatever you're using for your meditative asana. Again, ideally you want to get to be able to sit in Siddhasana eventually, right? Can put your use a mudra on your knees. As you, well, actually one hand only, the other hand is here, right? So again, just 5 minutes, do at your own pace, however you wish to do it, okay? And begin.
you can finish your last round. Okay, so next we'll talk about the meditation practice for this month, which is for Svadhisthana Chakra. So again, last month we did the Muladhara Chakra, which in men is at the perineum, and men and women is at the cervix, right? So this month we're doing the next chakra up, which is Svadhisthana. Svadhisthana is at the it's at the pubic bone in the front, and it's at the just above the tailbone at the back. So basically opposite the pubic bone, just directly opposite on the body at the back is where the actual chakra is. The pubic bone point is actually called the Svadhisthana Shastha, right? And the chakra is at the back. So each of the chakras are filled with different vasanas and samskaras, right? So the purpose of meditating on them is to awaken them and start to release and to purify it and eliminate those vasanas and samskaras, right? Svadhisthana. I think that's...
How do you know that they are awakened?
You feel them. Yeah, you feel them, yeah. So, and as to your thinking will change, right? So, for example, Muladhara is associated with the physical body, right? And it's tightly coupled actually with sexual desire, for example. So, sexual desire of the physical body is contained in Muladhara chakra, right? And sexual desire is also in Svadhisthana chakra as well, but it's more at the emotional body level, right? So, more of your you have sexual dreams, you have sexual thoughts, sexual fantasies, anything of that nature is based in the Svadhisthana chakra.
And
right?
They will increase fantasies and all? They will increase or decrease?
They will decrease.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So again, the idea is to keep raising the Kundalini energy up, right? At Manipura, pretty much all sexual thoughts are gone. When the energy has reached Manipura, it's based, Manipura is basically love becomes more the dominant factor in your life, right? Your thoughts more turn to things of love, right? And you kind of leave sex behind, right? So the other thing too is that they say Svadhisthana is associated with vegetarianism, right? So if you crave a meat diet, for example, if you purify Muladhara and Svadhisthana, you will actually lose your desire for meat. You'll actually want to eat more vegetarian food naturally, just automatically, right? So those are the two things that you can get out of this practice. Like, if I told you guys about Anastasia, I can't remember. I don't think so, yeah, no.
A little bit to me.
A little bit to you, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, Anastasia talks a lot about, the negative effects of, basically sex for pleasure, essentially. She talks a lot about the negative effects of that. And again, what these guys say, though, is if you try to suppress it, try to abstain, many spiritual teachers will tell you to abstain, right? Then practice yoga. You first abstain from, say, brahmacharya, right? And then you practice yoga, but that leads to worse problems. Again, you can see with all these priests, pedophiles, for example, right? If you try to force it, you just end up going worse into sexual fantasies and what have you, right? And it becomes perverted, actually becomes worse, right? So better to satisfy the desire and to have it, and just do the meditation practice and have it kind of disappear on its own, right? So, but yes, you do lose a lot of, spiritual energy is lost in when you have sex for pleasure, basically. Basically, sex is for, creating a child, right? And when the release of spiritual energy, again, according to Anastasia, is given to the child, in fact, so that the child can actually be born very strong and healthy, right? They take the spiritual energy from the mother and the father, right? And the child can then use that energy to make sure he has a healthy birth, right? So, that's the idea they say too, when you're trying to, you know, have a child, right? You should abstain for the whole month, and only on the the day of ovulation, that's when you have sex, right? If you want to procreate. So but anyways, that's a whole other subject. So the practices for Svadhisthana, similar to the ones for Muladhara. Just a few. So like Muladhara Chakra, the first thing you do is, so there's a couple things, right? There's 2 points now. So Muladhara, there's only one, right? There's only one point. But here we have 2 points. We have one at the back and one on the front. So you kind of have to split your time between both, right? So at my preference is, they actually say you alternate, you know, do like 5 minutes one, 5 minutes the other. So you could do that. You could do 5 minutes on the back, 5 minutes on the front, then again on the back, then again on the front. My preference is actually to do, you know, if you're going to do like half an hour of meditation, you do 15 minutes, you know, like pick one side, either the back or the front, right? So, you know, my preference is actually start on the front. I do 15 minutes on the front and then do 15 minutes on the back, right? Within those 15 minutes, there's 3 5-minute segments, right? So the first 5 minutes, what you do is, again, it's the practice one given here, practice two maybe, practice two actually. You just press, right? You just press with your finger on the pubic bone, right? So again, ideally you do it right against your skin, right? You just press on the pubic bone there, right? So again, you feel your stomach soft, 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 keep going lower and lower and lower, and then eventually hit the bone, right? And you see, if you go past that, the bone disappears. It's just a little round bone there, right? So just find the center of the bone and kind of press on it, right? Again, right below your navel. Go straight below your navel, right on the bone. You press on it again, direct, ideally just right on your skin, actually. And then you and press as hard as you can, actually. Press really hard so you really feel something there. Then you meditate on it, that pressure. You do press for about 30 seconds or so and feel the pressure there, right? And press hard, right? So you really feel it, right? You can also repeat mentally, Svadhisthana, 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 right? As you press. And then release. And try to feel the sensation. Keep your mind there and repeat Svadhisthana mentally. Just repeat mentally Svadhisthana. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you continue that for maybe 2 minutes or so. Then press again. Like this, the feeling will go away, right? Then you press again to try to re-engage the sensation. So, right, and then press again for another 30 seconds or so. And then release and meditate on it. Svadhisthana, repeating mentally. Right? So that's the first 5 minute practice. Right. The second practice is Vajroli Mudra. For men, it's actually called Sahajroli Mudra for women. This is the urinary tract, right? So there's certain muscles associated with the urinary tract. So when you're urinating, right, if you contract those muscles, you can stop the flow of urination. So that'll give you an idea of where those muscles are. So the idea of this practice is now to contract those muscles. So when you contract those muscles, it also will cause stimulation in the shastram there, right? So now what you do is you contract those muscles for 10 seconds and hold it for 10 seconds and concentrate at the same point. Keep concentrating on the same point. And again, if you feel your mind is starting to wander, just repeat Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana mentally, right? And then release for 10 seconds, right? But keep concentrating on the same spot. Then contract the urinary muscles, hold it for 10 seconds, and relax. Okay. So the other thing too with again, like I was saying before, it, like these two chakras, Muladhara and Svadhisthana, they're tightly coupled with sex, actually, right? So again, you can experiment with these mudras actually during, you know, the sexual act, right? So if you get really good at Vajroli mudra for men, for example, right? When you orgasm and you can apply Vajroli mudra at the same time, you can actually hold back the ejaculation of semen, in fact, too, right?
That's why I heard it like 10 years back somewhere, when I was in New York driving, they were telling on the radio, asexual was on the radio, and that's how you can do it. I think they got it from yoga.
yeah. So again, the benefit of this, right? So you have your orgasm, you still satisfy your sexual desire, you get satisfied, but you actually retain a lot of the spiritual energies retained inside your body, right? So same thing with Muladhara, Mulabandh as well. So Mulabandh, again, the same thing. I think it works for women too, but I'm not sure. I think if you do Mulabandh and Sahajoli Mudra, right? You will retain, will redirect the sexual energy. Instead of having the spiritual energy lost, you know, like, again, if you're not procreating, it just gets lost, right? It doesn't go to the child, it doesn't go to nothing, because you're just doing it for pleasure, right? Or satisfying your desire. But by doing these mudras, right, during the thing, you can actually, not only the sex has become more enjoyable, but you actually redirect the spiritual energy back inside you, right, so it doesn't get lost. And what it does is actually starts to purify these chakras as well, so that you eventually lose your sexual desire completely, in fact, right? You just keep the spiritual energy continuously all the time. No need to, just the desire is gone, right? I guess the other thing too, if you're like a married couple, you need to kind of both practice. It's no good if the husband has no desire and the wife is still didn't practice and she's still, bending and get out of sync with each other, right?
Yeah, we're planning to do it after 20 years. This sex.
So the final practice, which is actually not given here, but which I do for the final 5 minutes, is to it was given last month, the Muladhara practices, where you focus on the breath, right? So again, you just, when you inhale, you imagine the breath is coming in through that chakra, and when you exhale, you imagine the breath is flowing out from that chakra, right? So we did it for last month in Mulabandh, for the Muladhara chakra. So it doesn't give it here for Svadhisthana, but I think it's a good practice to do, actually. You know, so you've done the pressing and meditating, you've done the Vajroli Mudra, contraction of the muscles, right? Now you just stay still and just focus on the breath going in and out of that of the pubic bone, essentially, right? So we'll do that for like 2 minutes. Okay, so with those three practices, you can basically get 15 minutes of meditation on the Svadhisthana Kshetram. Again, whenever you feel your mind is wandering, just start repeating Svadhisthana, 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 and bring it back, right? So I would do those same three practices, except this time on Svadhisthana on the back, right? So it's a little bit more difficult to concentrate on the back. Again, you do the same thing. You just so if you feel your back, right? You'll see at a point it disappears. The tailbone kind of curves in, and it disappears a bit, right? So right at that point, maybe like half a centimeter higher up, right?
That's right where the chakra is. And again, about maybe half a centimeter into the body, like it's in the center of the spine, actually. So just a bit into the body and a bit above where it disappears from there, you know, curves in. Right there is where the chakra is. So again, press there. So you then press there really hard, right, for 30 seconds or so. And then release and just keep concentrating on that point. Again, mentally repeat Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana if your mind is wandering. And then you would, you know, if you repeat that, you press again for 30 seconds and then you meditate again for 2 minutes, right? So now the next one in terms of the muscle contraction is Ashwini Mudra, right? So this is the anal muscles, right? So again, you just, you know, again, when you're holding back a bowel movement or, you know, when you're doing a bowel movement, you're using those muscles are the ones that you use, right? So again, you gotta, it's also important to be able to separate all three muscles, right? So there's,
so how do you separate that out? It's hard to separate the front and the back.
That's right, exactly. So that takes a bit of practice. But again, I mean, when you're starting out, just contract them all. If they're all contracting at the same time, you know, eventually with practice, you'll be able to contract each of them individually, right? So try to, you know, eventually get to the point where you can contract all three sets individually, right? But yeah, so basically, and again, the way Ashwini Mudra works is you do them kind of like 1 second contractions, right? So every second, contract, release, contract, release. And what this does is this create kind of like a, you know, waves. Like imagine that there's waves of energy coming up and hitting the Svadhisthana chakra every time you contract, release. And then you do that for like, again, you contract, you know, maybe 10, 20 times as much as you can. And then you again, relax for a bit and keep concentrating. And then you contract again and you keep going, contracting repeatedly for 10, 20 times. And then stop for like a minute or two when you just, again, keep concentrating on the point, right? So we'll try that for a minute or so, right? So contract 10, 20 times. And again, imagine the energy sensations coming up and hitting the Svadhisthana chakra on the spine. And again, if your mind is wandering, repeat Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana.
Okay. And the final practice is just to do another 5 minutes of just the breath. Imagine you're breathing. As you inhale, imagine the air is coming in through that chakra. When you exhale, imagine the air is going out, right? Okay. So that's basically, so you do again 50 minutes on the front, 50 minutes on the back for a half an hour meditation, right? And again, if your mind wanders, just repeat mentally, Svadhisthana, 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 right? And again, because you keep changing practices, you're doing the muscle contractions, you're doing the breathing, you're doing this, it's, you know, the whole half an hour actually goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
You don't, that's what's great about these practices, right? I mean, so many yogis will tell you, okay, just sit and concentrate or something like that, and they don't really give you, you know,
what to do.
So, and again, these work really well. I mean, you get really good results. You get, you know, way better results, in fact, than trying to do it the other way, in my experience, right? So, so that's pretty much it. Any questions? Okay. Good.